Nature is a respite from hectic schedules, constant phone notifications, and the drone of noise pollution a populated area emits. There's something beautiful and cleansing about stepping out into the woods and sleeping under the stars. I feel as if it almost leads me back to myself by cutting out the unnecessary and stripping away the busyness of my thoughts, leaving me inwardly still. Have you ever thought, though, that the reason we become so still inside is so we're not numb to what is around us outside, so that we might hear that alarm bell ringing in our head, the unnatural snap of the twig behind us, the gnawing in the pit of our stomach that tells us to run? Tonight, we are going camping, so pull out your marshmallows and your defensive weapon of choice. Welcome to the Nightmare Society. Summer, 1997. I was 9 and scared of my own shadow, so this experience only furthered my fear of the world. My mom and I drove up to Revere, Massachusetts to Bear Brook State Park in New Hampshire to camp. My dad was going to drive up the next morning to meet us because he had to work. So, everything was going normal at the campsite. We set up the tent, built our fire, all was well. It was still daylight when we noticed that the lone, greasy-haired man in the campsite connected to ours was continually running and leaping into a wooden post, then attempted to balance himself on one foot. He kept doing this over and over and over. It was odd, but we just figured he was some lonely kook and had a good laugh at his expense. My mom thought maybe he was trying out for the circus. Cut to nighttime. Absolute darkness if not for the campfire. My mom and I were sitting and roasting s'mores over the flames when we heard footsteps approaching from the other campsite. Out of the pines, the lone man stumbled onto our site, and he was ghastly and ragged in the firelight. I could tell my mom was tense. She asked the stranger what he needed.
"Hey,"
he mumbled.
"I need your help in my campsite."
We waited and he didn't go on. My mom asked what he needed help with. The filthy man said,
"I locked my keys in my van. I need you to come over and help me."
Then he looked at me and said,
"Don't worry, kid. You can stay here with your fire."
I remember getting goosebumps at that. My mom said, "I don't know how I can help you with your keys."
"You must have a spare hanger lying around somewhere,"
suggested the man. My mom told him she didn't. The ghoulish man wouldn't let up, though.
"Yeah, you must have a hanger lying around here somewhere. Maybe you dropped one on the ground near your tent."
My mom adamantly told him she didn't have a hanger, and quickly added, "My husband will be here soon. Maybe he can help you. He's a pretty strong guy."
"Yeah, all right,"
the creep slurred, and he started to trudge away into the dark. But he turned his head and said,
"Well, if you do find a hanger, come help me. I'll be here."
And with that, the horrible man left. My mom and I barely slept that night. I felt her moving at every sound outside the tent. Looking back, my poor mother must have stayed up through the long night, worrying a butcher knife was going to slash through the tent wall. And so, morning eventually came. And when we stepped out of the tent, we immediately saw that the lone man and his camper van were gone. Later in the day, I heard my mom exclaim. I ran over to her and watched as she picked something up from the ground beside our tent. She held it between us, staring at it, not speaking. It was a metal hanger. I also found out later in life that 4 dead females were found stuffed into metal barrels in Bear Brook State Park back in the 80s, I think. I don't remember all the details, and I may have some things mixed up. So, here's the wiki page. I have a few stories. I've seen some weird shit. Possible graves 50 plus miles away from the nearest access road, shelter structures that don't line up with human survival techniques. Maybe a Bigfoot, though I think it was in all likelihood just a large, curious bear, and some shredded animals deep in the woods without their organs or muscles being eaten, as if someone or something did it for fun. As I've been saying a lot lately in various Reddit threads, what has spooked me the most and turned me into a believer is what I've heard. The scariest story I have is about a night deep in the Oregon woods. I'll preface this by giving my background, not as a brag or anything, just to show that my outdoor and survival bona fides are there. I'm 37. I've literally spent over 5 total years alone in the woods, camping and hiking. I've gone months without ever even talking to another human being. I've taken every class or training you can imagine in identifying animals, especially threatening ones that can kill me. I've walked most of the Appalachian Trail barefoot. I've spent weeks in varying wilderness areas across the US and Canada. I know what a mountain lion sounds like, whether it's mating, scared, communicating, whatever. I know what foxes, bobcats, owls, and varying birds, moose, elk, deer, varying weasels, bison, bugs, sheep, bear, and everything in between sounds like. When you have a hobby like I do and spend every free second alone in the woods, you have to know sounds. It's absolutely imperative to know if something is close by that wants to eat you. Again, I only say all this because it's inevitable every time I tell one of my stories, at least one person is going to say, "Nah, dude, it's just a fox. They scream like bloody murder." Yeah, I know. I've had 3 or 4 sounds that scared me that don't match any animal living in North America. There was only one that made me leave camp early and go back to civilization. This time, I was actually doing a buddy camp with my oldest friend. He's the same age and has more experience in the woods than I do. We met up in Oregon for a 2-week camp in the vicinity of Mount Hood National Park. We were well off the beaten path, no people or civilization anywhere near us. One night, late, at our camp setup, he and I were sitting by a fire, just bullshitting and reminiscing. It's also too important to note that we were sober. I do occasionally drink, and I do occasionally smoke cannabis, but never on these trips. Your sobriety and level head can be the difference between life and death out there. As we talked, from maybe 300 yards or so away, down in a ravine, we heard a howl, growl, scream that persisted for several minutes. It literally vibrated our heads, that's how powerful it was. It was guttural and booming. The only way I've been able to describe it is imagine a huge horror demon is somehow defeated and sent back to hell. Imagine the demon's scream of agony and anger as it's dragged back to where it came from. It was fucking terrible. 2 grown men and decades of experience in both of us carrying firearms for protection. Firearms that if need be could take down a 1,000-pound bear in hysteric tears, clinging to each other, frantically deciding what to do. We made it until the first signs of day and booked our asses back to our checkpoint and got the hell out of not just the area, but Oregon completely. I'm just now getting to the point I can talk about it, and that's in an anonymous forum like Reddit. This is the closest known recording I've heard that sounds remotely similar.
It's coming from back there too, behind us. See, that's a dog. Do you hear that? Easy. That's no dog.
I've never gone out there to quote unquote monster hunt. It's always been about my love of nature, animals, and solitude. Over the last few months, I've become enthralled with unknown sounds because of my experiences. I've never gone out with any technology except a mobile GPS and an emergency satellite phone. My next trip is coming in May. I've recently invested in solid recording equipment, an FLIR camera, and a solid digital video recorder. This next trip, I'm going to actively devote time to recording the things I've heard. I've posted this before as a reply to a comment. It's been playing on my mind because last week it came up in my time hop and then I thought I'd post it here. So last summer I booked a glamping trip in the next county over. The website looked beautiful, a campsite of 6 large yurts outside a lovely little village. Coincidentally, I had driven through that village before as it's close to a really nice historic castle I like to visit occasionally. So we pay our money and my husband, 2 kids, and I pitch up. It's one of the last weekends of the summer and it was lovely weather. The campsite was on a small hill and the people who owned it lived atop the hill in their farmhouse. We were checking in on a Sunday for 2 nights, as we were shift workers at the time. We passed other people checking out and they all looked pretty happy. The owners of the site showed us down to our yurt and mentioned that we were the only ones on the site for our stay this time, it being a Sunday. We were happy with that, to be honest, because with 2 young kids it meant they could make noise if they wanted and we wouldn't disturb anybody. When she showed us around, she did say the yurt door didn't lock, but none of them did. Which, okay, fine, because you don't lock a tent, right? The place was in its own mini wooded area, and it was absolutely beautiful. The owner also mentioned the kids would be safe to wander because they had a perimeter fence because of their dogs. The first night was fun. We had a barbecue, the kids played and went down to sleep at about 8. I found it hard to sleep, but I often do somewhere new. There was only patchy phone coverage, so we read until we fell asleep. Next morning, my husband seems a bit out of sorts, but I asked him if he was all right, and he was all, "Yep, fine." So I left it. We went out for the day and had a great time. Whole day was blazing hot, and then we got back. We were washing up after dinner and the kids were playing and a shadow came over the whole place. I felt eyes on me and it went really cold. Honestly, it felt like something bad was going to happen. I felt dread hit me. We'd already paid to stay, but I pulled my husband to one side and said, "We have to leave right now. I don't know why. I've just got a bad feeling. Please, let's just go home." Normally, he'd try and talk me out of something like this, but he didn't. He started getting the kids together, and I packed our stuff. We went to the farmhouse where the couple who owned it were sat outside playing with their dogs. My husband started loading up the car while I apologized to them and explained we needed to leave because our youngest was feeling ill. They said how sorry they were about it, and then just as I turned to leave, the man owner asked if my husband had been outside the house last night, about 3 or 4 in the morning. I said no, he hadn't left my side all night. I would have woken up. He asked me if I was sure. By this point, my husband was by my side and answered that no, he hadn't, and why? Well, says the guy, the security lights came on and the dogs started barking, and when we looked outside, there was a man wandering around who then turned around and walked back down the direction of the yurts. They assumed it was my husband. We both said it wasn't and said our goodbyes quickly. I tore out of that place in the car, and then about a quarter mile down the road, my husband turned to me and said, "You're right. I was quiet this morning. I didn't say anything because I thought you'd take the piss. I wanted to use the bathroom in the wee hours, but as I was about to get up, I heard footsteps on the decking outside. Not hooves or something on 4 legs. Something on 2 legs. I lay there as quiet as possible and hoped the kids wouldn't wake up or something. Nope, nope, nope. It still freaks me out now." I honestly can't believe I'd forgotten about this. This happened back in the fall of either 2002 or 2003, when I was around 12 or 13 years old, near Clinton Lake in Kansas on a Boy Scout campout. I still go backpacking and camping a lot, but this was the last camping trip I remember attending before moving states. We arrived at our campsite on a Friday and planned on staying through Saturday and leaving Sunday morning. I remember us having to set up our tents in the rain Friday evening, but Saturday was sunny and gorgeous. I remember every precise detail, but right before we went out to hike that morning, an old van, perhaps a late 70s model van, pulled into a campsite within view of ours. These guys were hippies with a capital H, and that was my first exposure to what weed smells like when some of us asked if a skunk was nearby. They were too far away for us to hear any specific conversations, but even the adult leaders found this to be a funny sight. One of the leaders, I think, went over there to ask that they stop using drugs in front of us or to move campsites. When we got back from our day hike, those hippies were still at the same campsite and so baked they couldn't play their instruments with any skill. Here's where it got weird. By the time the sun was setting, the group of stoners had completely ditched their hippie attire and had dressed up in total goth style. Some had makeup that made their faces unnaturally pale. Others had black trench coats on, and they must have had a stereo because all we could hear over there was grunge metal playing. That night after we cooked and ate dinner, all the scouts, including myself, headed out into an open area of the campgrounds to play Capture the Flag. We collectively established the boundaries, which were still pretty close to the group of the now goths, but it gave us a different angle of view to their site. I doubt they had any idea we were there since we played with no flashlights. By this point, the grunge metal had been replaced by this creepy, ominous opera music. I succumbed to curiosity, but I wasn't about to sneak into their campsite. I just crept a little closer to see what they were doing. They had made a large campfire beyond legal limits, and I couldn't see any of the group. On a tree, I saw something that made me initially freaked out, but I figured they were still feeling the weed and any other drugs they may have taken for this to be real and continue to play. I think we only played one game, then retired to our tents. At some point in the middle of the night, all of our adult leaders woke us up and told us to quickly and quietly pack up our things, take down our tents, and get back to the bus. As we were packing everything up, we couldn't help but notice the bonfire was still going strong, but the music had stopped and we heard people talking. The tone didn't sound like casual conversation either, but I couldn't hear specific words. I don't know how to describe it. Once everyone and everything was in the bus, the driver got us the hell out of there. The adults were abnormally quiet and the scouts had congregated to the back of the bus. I don't remember if one of us told the adults about those guys, but we knew it had to have been regarding that strange group. A fellow scout from the other CTF team had also tried sneaking into their campsite and saw the same thing I did. Ever since, I'm inclined to think that what we saw was real, and the reason for us cutting the trip short. Hanging from the tree, he and I saw a decapitated dog and two severed human legs. I never learned anything more about that night. I'm a university student now, but this incident happened when I was in the 8th grade. When I was around 14, I studied a subject focusing on outdoor pursuits. For our final assessment, two teachers took my class on a one-night camp where we would do activities like rock climbing, kayaking, trail walking, etc. I live in Australia, around an hour from a state forest that was notorious for the backpack murders. Several bodies have been found and several more remain missing. I'm pretty sure all of the murders were linked to the same serial killer. Anyway, in the morning we leave the school and drive out in a bus. When we reach the road that leads to the entrance of the forest, a police car is parked to the side. He spoke to the teacher for a moment, but I didn't hear anything and no one else seemed to notice or care. Fast forward a few hours and we've trekked, about 20 of us, to the camping area somewhere in the middle of the state forest. Some parts are state, some are privately owned, I think. Whilst kayaking that afternoon, we noticed a helicopter doing flybys, but again, my classmates never suspected anything. A couple of mates and I were the first to leave the water and help the teacher with some equipment and started building our own rafts. I was standing off to the side when one of the national park guides walked over to one of the instructors and talked in a hushed, slightly stressed out tone. I remember hearing the instructor say stuff like, "You're kidding me," and "I don't believe it." He just looked shocked and taken aback. So at this point, I start connecting the dots, but I didn't say anything to my school friends. Around dusk that night, I go to the toilet block, which is around 100 meters from the main campsite. As I go in, I remember a guy walking around the other side of the block. I didn't see him clearly in the diminished light, but he kept glancing around with nervous body language. I couldn't see his face clearly. He wasn't part of our party, and to me, he just didn't fit. I didn't think much of it at the time. Fast forward to the next morning and we get back to the car park. The teacher tells us that a body was found in a dam not far from where we are. They didn't want to tell us so as not to frighten us. We later found out it was a young guy who was killed with an axe, and the guy who did it was related to the serial killer who hunted in the same area. I don't know if that guy I saw had anything at all to do with the murders, but it freaked me out a lot afterwards. Haven't been camping since. A late night mystery man, mutilated animals, human body parts, and camping in a serial killer's hunting grounds, all while out in the open woods. Truly disturbing. My sincerest gratitude to the contributors because they have made this podcast possible. And thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, share, comment, and subscribe. It helps me out greatly. If there are any types of stories you'd like to hear or you have a story you'd like to submit, please do email it to the address in the description. I'd love to hear it. Sweet dreams, and as always, stay safe.